This is Studio 360. I'm Kurt Anderson. It's never been easy to pin down what kind of music Beck makes. He started out with four edgy folk rock albums and then released Odelay, one of the first rock records that went ultra-digital, embracing hip-hop and sampling and glitchy noise.
She's got a cigarette on each arm. She's got the lily white cavity quasars.
After that, he got funky, then a little mopey. Sure, he's alternative and indie, but what do those mean? Eventually, it became impossible to have expectations for a new Beck record. And that brings us to Beck's latest album, which sounds like nothing yet. Song Reader is a collection of sheet music, 20 songs beautifully printed and packaged with original artwork and musical notation for different instruments. Beck has not recorded or released any of these songs yet, so if you want to hear them, you got to play them yourself. Think of it as the ultimate DIY music project. And Beck is here with me now to talk about it. Beck, welcome to Studio 360.
Yeah, thank you. Good to be here.
So in keeping with the spirit of Song Reader, we actually assembled a bunch of the staff here at New York Public Radio in Studio 360 this week to record one of the songs, Saint Dude. And I want to play it for you.
Love to hear it.
So that was some of the hosts and staff at WNYC and WQXR playing Saint Dude from Beck's Song Reader.
From the Broadway musical. Coming
exactly.
to you from 360.
Right, right?
It felt like that. It was something very triumphant. And yeah.
And that was me on Glockenspiel, by the way.
Nice work.
Thanks. So since you haven't yet in any public way performed these or recorded these, when you wrote that song, is that rendition entirely different from what you were thinking as you wrote it?
I think when I played it, it had a little bit more of a pensive bridge over troubled water.
Yeah,
you know, but I like that version. I think that's one of the aspects of this project was to hear your own songs back in different ways that you hadn't expected or you know thought possible, and I'm. Feel like I'm learning a lot hearing these songs played back at me.
And even though the album has just come out, there are already many, many, many versions that have been submitted to your songreader.net site and posted on YouTube and SoundCloud. Have you listened to many?
I have. I mean, the ones that have been posted, I've watched at least a dozen of them so far.
Are there versions you're hoping to hear that you haven't heard yet? Not that we want to stack the deck and say, "Oh, do that rap version of Old Shanghai," but
you know, the more far out, the better. I say, you know, I really feel like the sheet music versions are just really a rough sketch of what it could be.
Yeah,
of course, people can play them as they're written, but you know, whenever I get a song remixed, I'm always happy to hear something completely unexpected.
No, and it's to sort of have nothing but cover versions, so to speak, from the beginning is what's sort of so interesting about this.
Yeah, it is interesting. I mean, it's maybe strange, but really that's what songs were originally. I think it's probably difficult for people to even imagine a time where there weren't records and recorded versions of songs.
Right.
And we probably don't realize how alive and thriving that world of sheet music was.
Mm-hmm.
The way these songs were bought and sold and played in people's homes and shared among friends and family. It's really, it was a big part of the social glue.
We'd play lolly, heavenly flower.
You said that discovering the sheet music from the 30s for Bing Crosby's Sweet Leilani made a big impression on you. How so?
Well, I had just stumbled on this fact that one of his hit songs, and he had many, I think he has the most number one songs of all time. I mean, he was a hit machine.
Before the Beatles, before Michael Jackson.
Oh, yeah. I can't remember the exact number, but I mean, it makes the Beatles and Elvis pale in comparison. And he had one song that was so popular it sold 54 million copies of sheet music.
Wow.
In a time where there were only 120 million people in the entire country.
As you were thinking about writing these songs from the beginning, you must have thought, okay, these aren't custom made for me like most of the songs I've made. So what did that lead to?
Well, you know, listening to a lot of these classic songs, whether it's a Tom Petty song or, you know, an Elvis song or a Beatles tune or Cole Porter, some of these really classic songs have a really simple lyric. And this is something that I've thought about a lot. You know, I hear a song and think, man, if I wrote that, I don't wonder if I could get away with that.
Mm-hmm.
People do, but I guess I felt like I could take liberty and write some things that were much more simple and direct in the way those songs, you know, whether it's a Love Me Do or Love Me Tender, Love Me This, Love Me That.
Yeah. Having done this and having focused so many hours on writing in this new way for you, will that change the way you do music going forward?
I hope that this gives me, on the one hand, a kind of discipline or being able to think of that songwriting craft in a way where you don't have to get so precious or up in your head about it. You can really look at it as a bigger tradition, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And certain songs become so big over time, you forget who wrote it or who sang it. It just becomes part of a sort of collective, you know, idea of song.
You talk about how music becomes part of the musical culture. It seems to me that can be said of your music from the 90s, certainly. Mm-hmm. Odelay is part of the soundtrack of the 1990s. I want to play a song from that album, Where It's At.
There's a destination a little up the road from the habitations of the towns we know. A place we saw the lights turn low, the jigsaw jazz and the get fresh flow. Pulling out jobs and jamboree handouts, two turntables and a microphone. Bottles and cans or just clap your hands or just clap your hands.
Where is that?
And that's a song from the 90s about the music of the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
As you were doing that album, did you feel like, okay, this will have enduring influence?
No, I don't think so. You know, I mean, at that point, I was just amazed that I was able to be in a recording studio recording yeah. songs, you know.
And so you were just happy to be there and didn't think, I'm a big deal now?
I've never had that.
No.
I wish I had a little of that. You know, I've noticed that any song that connected with people or got on the radio in the studio, there was no sense of anything important happening at all whatsoever. If anything, the song was a bit of a throwaway, you know.
So it wasn't that biopic moment where they said, kid, this is going to be a hit.
No. We did a record called Sea Change, and there was a song called Lost Cause, and that song got on the radio, and it was just – I almost took it off. It just felt like a throwaway. You know, it was definitely not the song that
it was a B-side.
We paid much attention at all. You know?
Baby, you're lost. Baby, you're lost. Baby, you're lost.
I can't think, however, of any other musician around today who has been able to so successfully drop into such disparate-seeming genres. Again, doing it so interestingly over and over again, from folk rock to hip-hop to R&B, I want to play a little bit of your song, Deborah.
'Cause when our eyes did meet, girl, you know I was packing heat. Ain't no use in wasting no time getting to know each other. You know the deal.
I mean, you wouldn't think, oh, the guy who did Loser did that not long after. Did it seem early on like you had to make the choice whether, okay, I've got this hit, I'm going to keep doing songs more or less like that, or I'm going to be a guy who does sort of radically different things?
You know, it's funny when you're in a studio, things happen. You really I have rarely gone into the studio with that as a sort of, thinking about the bigger picture, it's just very much just whatever is happening in the moment. And if you're just doing something and letting loose and everyone's laughing or, having a good time, then that's, probably the difference in my output is I tend to put those songs on the record, whereas maybe other bands are doing stuff like that, but they keep it to themselves, they kind of play it straight. I think that, I never really tried to make a cohesive body of work because I didn't really think I'd have a body of work or that anybody would be interested. So, just kind of let whatever happen. And I was as a solo artist, I had that agency to be able to kind of do whatever I wanted and go where I wanted. And I didn't really have
You didn't have to convince band members to do it?
Yeah, which I think most people do, and maybe that's a good thing. Maybe my music would be a lot more consistent and better for it, but, it is what it is. So,
well, I, for one, am glad it is what it is and that you give yourself the leeway to make projects like The Song Reader. It's a really cool thing, and thanks for talking with me about it today.
Oh, thanks. Yeah, thanks for the interest.
Beck's new album is a set of sheet music called Song Reader. You can see me playing on one of those songs, Saint Dude, with some of my actually and extremely talented colleagues. The video is up at studio360.org. And that ringer on lead vocals is our engineer, John Delore. We performed a couple of other Beck songs from the new sheet music album, and you can hear those too.